let's start with the obvious. I am not Iftikhar Ahmed. Iftikhar is an assistant professor in Pakistan. I mean, postdoc at NC State for several years. And he wanted to attend and was not able to get a visa, so he asked me to go ahead and present this. A couple of things are very interesting for me in working with Iftikhar, especially now that he's back in Pakistan. One is that despite all the news, Pakistan, in a lot of ways, the economy has done fairly well over the last few years. So with that, there's been an increasing middle class, and that middle class is buying flowers. Mainly what they worked with was cut flowers. There's several cut flower species, marigolds, tuberoses, and roses, that form the basis of the culture, especially when it comes to weddings. But increasingly, bedding plants are becoming more important. And so Iftikhar, when he was at North Carolina, did some work with bedding plants and has continued to do that. The other thing is, in talking with him and, you know, coaching him on setting up experiments and this sort of thing, is what's not available, period, that we take for granted, or is very expensive. Most of the production is being done by very small growers, and peat moss, fertilizers, the floral preservatives, even some of the seeds, although I think Syngenta's trying to get him some seeds. So pretty much the industry is starting from scratch, even though it's growing pretty fast, but it's starting from a low place. So one of the flowers that's of particular interest to in Pakistan is the calendula, and common name pot marigold. Winter bedding plant we grow occasionally as a potted flowering plant, not so much anymore. It's occasionally grown as a cut flower. In Pakistan, it's mainly grown as a cut flower. Here, it's a little bit as a cut and a little bit more as a winter bedding plant. They're also looking at it from the pharmaceutical and also from a source of other volatile compounds. Anybody who has handled calendula, you know that it has glandular hairs and has a lot of oils and stuff in it, so there are folks that are trying to do more with that. Like I said, they're focusing on the basics. You can see their field plots right there. Trying to just figure out fertilization. So, of course, insufficient fertilization causes poor plant growth, and yet too much fertilization, or we worry about the nutrient runoff, they're more worried about the economics. They just simply don't have the fertilizers that we use. So, of course, they need to balance the plant growth with the economics. So, the goal of his work here was to determine the optimum N, P, and K for superior flower quality and higher yield of seed, because most of the seeds they use are grown locally within Pakistan. So there's a sub-industry. Of course, well, for us, you know, that's all we buy it from Syngenta and other companies. So I did two sets of experiments in terms of nutrition. The first one here, the control, and then nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and then the combinations N and P, N and K, and three of them together. And then the second experiment was N, P, and K was present in all of the combinations. There were three balanced ones, 10, 10, 10, 15, 15, 15, and 20, 20, 20, and the combinations in between there, in terms of grams per square meter.
So I'm just interrupting. Is that actual P and K, or is that P2O5?
You know, that's a good question. I didn't think to ask him. I think it's actual N, P, and K. I think.
It looks like
oxide.
Yeah.
Okay. The calendula seeds, they raise them at the university. They germinate them. Here's the substrate they use: silk, coconut core, and well-rotten leaf manure. So this goes back a bit. You know, if we look back at some of our old literature, we see some very similar mixes. So I thought that was really interesting looking at that. The seedlings were transplanted at the 2 to 3 leaf stage at 30 by 30 centimeters in the flats. You can see the flats right there. Both experiments were completely randomized design, and three replicates of 20 plants per experiment. So the fertilizer was urea, superphosphate, potassium sulfate. 50% of the nitrogen was applied at transplanting, all of the P and K was applied, and then the rest of the nitrogen was applied 30 days after transplant. So lots of data. It's one thing Iftikhar really took back from NC State was lots of data. So he and his crew, they took a lot of plant data. I'm not going to go through all of it there, nutritional data, the transpirational rate, the chlorophyll content, photosynthetic rate, the model conductance, the temperature, and then we covered that part of it. So, okay, he also likes graphs, lots and lots of graphs. So what we show here is the first experiment, plant height, canopy diameter, leaf area, and chlorophyll content. And then he highlighted the treatments with the greatest response, okay, in the red here. You can see, not surprisingly, that of course it's related to the N for the most part. And then here's a kind of a flower in this case. The shorter ones would be the better ones. Flowers per plant very clearly there. And then when we get down to photosynthetic rate, NK was by far the best. And then the seed yield, not terribly surprising, the NP and K were the best. And I asked them why there was no P value there, and they were still processing. They had the other step. There's no one in here has ever finished up their thing before. Okay, so experiment two here, we've got the combinations, and you see a lot more, the treatments are a lot closer, not surprising, because NPK is present in all of the treatments. And I'm not going to go through them all in great detail, but there's plant height, canopy, leaf area, and chlorophyll. And you can see for the most part, it's focusing on the combinations. And then here we have time to flower, flowers per plant, synthetic rate, and again, seed yield. And for the most part, 20-10-10 is what's looking to be the best. So, in summary for experiment one, plants fertilized with any treatment containing nitrogen had the shortest production time, biggest growth, resulting in increased plant parameters. N alone, or with P and K, had the greatest number of flowers and photosynthetic rates. And in this particular experiment, they were focused heavily on seed yield, so the complete fertilizer with N, P, and K is the greatest. No effect on flower diameter or either fresh or dry weight. So for the second experiment, the combinations there, 20-10-10, or 10-20-10, gave the best in terms of plant parameters. And then the 20 went along with 10 P and K, higher chlorophyll content. And then NP and K get similar flowers and diameter. So again, nitrogen was needed, not surprisingly, and then in terms of the second experiment, which provided more subtle, the 20-10-20 gave the overall best optimum flower and seed yield of several of the combinations that they were doing. There's an explanation. So, questions? Comments? Yes?
Did Dr. Ahmad take any initial nutrient concentrations or values of the media that he used, like potentially with the compost, and maybe even with the silt, there may have been some initial nutrients in there which allowed the nitrogen treatment soil so well?
Yeah, so the question was, did he take the initial soil test? I'm afraid I don't know. I think he did, so I'm afraid I don't know. He didn't include it, obviously. Yeah, Robert.
Do you know the reason for the earlier flowering in a couple of treatments? Did you have fewer nodes formed before the first flower, or faster development rate, or any other explanation?
Good question. The question was the reason for the earlier flowering. Was it actually due to development rate, or was it number of nodes, for example, fewer nodes? He took a leaf number, and that's one thing I did question him on. I didn't think about a couple of the other things, but was this area. We did take leaf number and leaf per. No, I guess we don't have it on here. I don't think he took note counts, but he did total number of leaves, which I think might answer that question. He didn't include it, but it wasn't on the note significance, so I think there probably was a difference. And that may very well could be helping address the answer, which could be if there were fewer leaves, and that might imply that there's fewer notes. The question is, I'm not sure whether he did it on leaves per stem, or leaves on the entire plant. I think he did it on leaves on the entire plant, which would be negated if there's more branches. Okay. Yeah. Other questions? Okay. Thank you.